Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 343, recorded on October 21st, 2017. Enjoy. All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me is Adam Christensen from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how are you doing?
And just Adam Christensen.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's just us.
Don't sell yourself short. It is Adam Christensen of the MacCast, and he's got the spotlight today.
Yeah, it's all about me.
Not sharing it with...
Oh, I like it.
...with Jeff, so...
Yeah, that guy's always butting in anyway.
Yeah,
what a good riddance.
What a jerk. No, he's off doing something fun, I think.
Yeah, actually would probably rather be where Jeff is right now.
What is he doing?
I think he's somewhere in the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, camping, probably.
Doing something.
I don't know, whatever. So, someone emailed Craig.
Probably seeking out coffee, if I know Jeff.
Sure. Someone emailed Craig Federighi. Asking him, are we going to get an October keynote? And Craig said that, no, we're all keynoted out for the season.
Yep.
So
I didn't find that too surprising, did you?
Well, I suppose the things that we would be looking forward to this fall are HomePod, iMac Pro.
Right. Which are still happening.
Yeah. And that's end of list, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people were thinking there was going to be some sort of HomePod announcement.
An event.
Maybe, I guess, coupled with some, what would they throw in there? Some Apple Music stuff or something? I don't know.
I suppose, but ultimately we know everything about those items. And Apple, I guess, is still of the mindset that their stores are, you know, little mini event places, right? So,
well, yeah. And I think they kind of don't know and are maybe going to try to gauge how well the HomePod sells. You know what I mean? Just without any kind of big fanfare behind it other than what they've done already.
Okay.
Is my assumption because, you know, again, supply chain and it's a new product and so I think exactly what you're saying is people who are interested in it, what they can do is they can release the product. Those who are in the know like us and want one, we're going to buy it regardless, right? So they don't need to market to us. They don't need an event to get those of us who are already considering picking one up to do anything different. Hmm. And so they're going to sell those and then we're going to talk about them and they'll still get the press and media coverage because the media is going to be reviewing it. And then as other people go, hey, that's interesting, you know, they're going to go check it out in the Apple retail store. They're going to be the ones that, hey, I want to hear what this thing sounds like. It's kind of pricey. You know, why would I buy this over a Echo, which is much cheaper, or a Google Home, right? So they'll go into the retail store and check it out. And then Apple can kind of gauge, you know, what demand is going to be like and then adjust supply chain after that.
Yeah, I suppose. Are you getting one?
Yeah, I'm definitely getting one.
Really? Why?
Yeah. One, so I can talk about it on the show. I mean, that's kind of first and foremost. But also, I think it's no secret that I'm a pretty big fan of Siri, and all my stuff is integrated with Apple. So I do have, you know, an Alexa device. I'm not saying that other word because that's my trigger word for my thing. I don't know if you heard it go off, but. And I don't actually ever use it, to be honest, just because it doesn't really integrate with most of my stuff.
Right.
Very well. I also have a Sonos, and it's funny because people are like, well, if someone has a Sonos, they're not going to buy the HomePod.
Yeah, but you're a crazy person. I don't think you qualify to...
Well, and my Sonos is really for my home theater. I've got the soundbar and the subwoofer and a couple of rear channel just play one speakers. And the thing is even though with Sonos they're adding Alexa support, again, I've tried the Alexa and it just doesn't integrate with my stuff. So it's just like, it's a giant pain. I need stuff that works with HomeKit. I need stuff that works with my Apple Music. I need, you know, and yes, the Sonos works with Apple Music through the app, but I won't be able to do any of the voice stuff. So having the HomePod is going to be a lot nicer, because I'll just be able to, you know, fire off stuff when I'm, and I'll probably set it up, I'm guessing, in the living room, kind of a central area of the house. So I don't know. I'm interested to try it out. It's a little on the pricey side, but again, half that justification is people are going to be asking me about it for the show. So I think I also need one just for that aspect of it. But I still want one. It's still an intriguing product to me.
Yeah, I'll be surprised to see if people actually buy it. If a lot of people, somebody's going to buy it, right? But I'll be surprised to see if a lot of people.
Here's what I said on the Mac show, you know, because they were arguing, well, Apple's way behind, and who's this really for, and all this other stuff. And I said, it's for the guys like me. It's for the people who are fully invested in the Apple ecosystem, and they want a home voice assistant product that's going to integrate with, you know, HomeKit and stuff like that. And that's a niche that is not being served by these other products. And maybe it's not as big as the market that Amazon has or Google has for their voice assistant.
Well, it can't be, because it's $350.
But here's the thing. I will predict in the first year Apple sells 3 to 5 million, which is not a ton of products for Apple. But I mean, that's a nice little chunk of change. And that's a pretty good little business at $350 a pop.
Fair.
You know, Amazon is going to sell tens of millions. I don't know how many they sell of the Alexas. They probably have already sold tens of millions. I don't know. I haven't looked at the numbers. But, you know, I don't think Apple is looking at this as, we want to go in and win the, you know, the home speaker personal assistant market. I don't think that's their play here. I think their play is, we want to build a really great sounding speaker because we care about music. We want to integrate Siri, which we think is the best voice assistant, and we also want to appeal to people who are Mac fans, and also I think people who care more about privacy of their data. I mean, my biggest problem with the Amazon thing and the Google thing is the reason they're so cheap is because they don't make money off of the product, right? They're making money off of the data and the marketing opportunity to sell you more stuff. And that's not something I'm super down with, to be honest, anymore. It's like getting a bit ridiculous, in my opinion.
Yeah, that and everything being a subscription.
Yeah. But so again, the Apple product is for a very specific type of consumer, and I don't think Apple's looking at it like they've always.
It's not this. The iPhone.
Well, and you have to remember too. I think device. People forget. Do you remember when Steve announced the iPhone? The target Apple had set for itself of the cell phone market that they wanted to capture with the iPhone was like 1%. They're like, if we can get 1% of this, you know, multi-billion-dollar market,
that's true,
we will have kicked butt.
Yeah, I think they're doing a little better than 1%.
No, but I mean, but again, the point is I'm trying to point out the philosophy. So like, people always think that like Apple's goal is to dominate a market, and I don't think that's ever their goal. They want to be successful, but they recognize that at the price points they sell things at and with the user experiences they create, their definition, they don't play the same game, I guess, is what always baffles me about like the media and analysts and people. They're not even playing the game that a lot of people think that they're playing.
True. And you know what? They've always been playing that low, the lower sales output, the higher profit game, mm-hmm. higher quality, et cetera.
Yeah. They're going to sell 3 to 5 million HomePods, and they're going to make, you know, a 40 to 50% margin on each unit sold.
Well, I think the difference now is with the crazy success of the iPhone that has kind of put the media given them a skewed perspective of what Apple is typically trying to do.
Correct.
So
correct.
Let's move to iOS. Apple has seeded, since we last were here, they've seeded several betas of iOS 11.1 to developers and public testers. And you get a couple features coming back and tweaks and that sort of thing. So it fixes reachability. So there was an issue. There is an issue with iOS 11 and reachability and the ability to pull down Notification Center using reachability. So they fixed that in, I think, the third beta.
Is reachability only something that's available on the Plus models?
No. No, I use it regularly on my...
I've totally forgotten about it. I don't ever use that feature.
I use it.
I know.
Yeah. It's nice. They've also brought back 3D Touch, the 3D Touch app switcher.
Oh, this is in the beta?
The beta, yes. Right. Yeah.
Cool.
So I'm getting close to actually...
Another feature I don't use.
Both of these features I use, and I am mainly the 3D Touch app switcher is the reason I haven't updated to 11. They've added new emoji, lots of new emojis. People are always upset when Apple talks about how they added emojis to the iOS. Like, you know, they should work on other things instead of just adding emojis to these. And it's like, they do so many other things.
Yeah. Apple just has every engineer working on adding new emojis to iOS, I'm sure.
To be fair, though,
the entire resources of the engineering
they have a whole department
needed for that
emoji department. Yeah, they have added a tweak to the keyboard, though. So when it suggests emojis right now, so you type the word pizza, it gives you the one suggestion. But in this, I think it's beta 3, beta 4, it gives you multiple emoji suggestions.
And they
pretty cool.
And they put the extended keys back on the iPad keyboard.
Did they? Are you asking or are you telling?
Can they?
What do you mean, extended keys?
So in iOS 10 on your iPad keyboards, because they're wider and they have more space, especially in landscape mode, right?
Yeah.
You would have all your standard keys, you know, your QWERTY keys. And then, because there was extra area on the left and right, I think the left-hand side had, like, cut, copy, paste buttons or something like that, you know, like these extra buttons. And then on the right-hand side, it had some buttons for common punctuation, like a period. So you didn't have to go to the secondary keyboard to type a period on an iPad.
I don't know what you're talking about, because those are there.
What, are you running iOS 11?
Yeah.
No, they're not there.
They're there. Talking about comma, period, question mark, exclamation, the undo, redo, paste buttons, all those?
Correct.
Yeah, they're there. There's something wrong with your stuff.
Well, maybe it was on the iPhone in landscape mode.
Maybe.
I might be confusing this. But anyway, somebody pointed out to me, I had not noticed it, and basically they have like dead areas now in, and maybe it's the iPhone in landscape. Hold on, let me check. But anyway, it's a weird thing they did in iOS 11. It's like, why did they remove those and just make blank space?
Because nobody used it, right?
That's what I told the person. They didn't think that was too funny.
Okay.
Yeah, it's on the iPhone.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're talking about. Yeah.
So they used to have extra little keys there, but now they're gone, and you just have these dead areas for no reason.
Oh, good. Well, maybe.
Which is awesome, too. I just noticed if you tap in those dead areas, it types the keys that are to the left of the dead area.
Good.
That's awesome.
Okay. We're also thinking that 11.1 will introduce Apple Cash when it goes public. Apple has been testing Apple Cash among corporate employees and now retail employees.
Apple Pay Cash, right?
I think it's Apple Cash.
Is this called Apple Cash?
I think it is, yeah. Apple Cash. Googling. I don't know. That does not help at all. Wait, maybe you're right about Apple Pay Cash. Yeah, maybe it's Apple Pay Cash.
Yeah. Because you have to get a virtual Apple Pay Cash card in your wallet.
Mm-hmm.
That all of your funds go into and out of.
Right, yeah. I also believe beta 4 patches the crack exploit.
Cool. That's a good thing.
It's always good. So, and we've also gotten some...
Does it fix the my iPhone takes 30 seconds to wake from sleep problem?
I don't know. I haven't heard about that. Is that an issue?
You know, I talked about this on my show, and I'm bringing it up here because I want to confirm, because I'm this close to taking my phone into an Apple retail store. But again, this problem did not start for me until iOS 11.
Is it intermittent?
It is intermittent.
Okay, so I think
always awesome.
Yeah, of course, can't bring it to the Apple store. So I think I've been having that issue on my iPad. So basically,
yes, I haven't had it on my iPad. It was only my iPhone.
You're saying that you press the home button or the sleep wake button, and
nothing happens.
It just derps out for 30 seconds, and then eventually pops up like nothing.
Yeah, and sometimes it fades in really slowly. Sometimes it'll like flicker because I pressed the sleep wake button like 10 times trying to, it'll like flicker and then come on.
My friend Omar has been having, I think he said he had the same issue with his iPhone.
Yeah, and some
iPhone.
People in my audience have confirmed it too, but I asked the guys over at Mac Observer, and all of them are like, no, I don't have that problem at all. Something's wrong with your phone. So, I don't know if it's limited to a model. I have an iPhone 7. So, maybe it's just my iPhone 7, but it's really annoying. Oftentimes it'll happen right after, like I'll put it to sleep, hitting the sleep wake button, and then immediately want to kind of turn it back on. And that's most frequently when I've noticed it. But yeah, it's weird. Okay, so hopefully that's a actual bug and it gets patched at some point.
Yeah, there's
We've
some kind
gone
of...
through 3-point releases now, right? And hasn't been fixed.
Right. So there's some kind of he's been having some kind of springboard like lock unlock issue. Like
yep.
Yeah, okay. I think it's probably software.
Yeah.
There have also been betas of watchOS. So 4.1 where they introduce the ability to stream you got your radio, you got Beats 1 ability, so there's a radio app. And let's see.
Are those only is that only available to Series 3 though?
I'm not sure.
With the cellular?
I don't know. Wait and see. WatchOS 4.1 brings support for streaming Apple Music content directly to the Apple Watch Series 3 over LTE, and introduces a new radio app with access to Beats 1.
Yeah, so I think it's only if you have LTE enabled Series 3 Apple Watch, which sucks because, like, I think a case could be made for allowing me to do that over Wi-Fi, like on my home network, if I just don't have my phone with, you know, if my phone's off in another room or at the gym with public Wi-Fi or something like that. That would actually be useful to some people, I think.
To be fair, I don't know, to be fair or what, but I think I may not ever update my watch from iOS 3 or watchOS 3. I don't really see any reason. The reason to not do it is you can't control your phone's music now.
Right. Yep.
And I use that a lot.
Yep. Yeah, but I mean, you're going to miss out on...
The
Pixar watch faces.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I can't get that. Which is also like not at all useful anyway. It's not like you can put a lot of complications on. So yeah, I'm probably going to stick to watchOS 3, but there's that. So it's there. Good job. This is pretty interesting. So Apple has in their machine learning journal, they have discussed a bit more about how Hey Siri works, and particularly with respect to the fact that it becomes more sensitive if your first try does not work. So it within the M1 or the motion coprocessor, there is a special portion that is always awake and always listening for the Hola Siri comment or trigger word.
I'm not sure. with the new training, do we need to worry about that word anymore?
I don't.
My
think
kids
so.
can't make my Siri go off.
I got a friend to trigger mine, but after like tons of tries. And actually, I think this is the reason why. I've been meaning to play with it. So the idea is, so you say, "Hey Siri," and oddly enough, none of my stuff went off. But if so, it hears you say that. But if the confidence score on that trigger is not high enough, but it's within some kind of range, it will become more sensitive to the trigger word for a few seconds. So if you try again, it will be more likely to work. Up. Yeah. Which is really cool. There was another aspect of this, but yeah, they use, you know, a deep neural network to do all kinds of exciting things, but obviously
I was doing something the other day and I was having a little bit of trouble with them. And I don't know if this is an iOS 11 bug, but, you know, I was playing music I was playing a podcast and, triggered Siri, and it seems like it didn't delay or didn't pause the podcast fast enough. And she was actually picking up the first couple words from the podcast and not from me, which was odd.
Ah, that's fun. Yeah.
But then seemed to filter it out. Like it seemed to recognize that those were like not valid words in the phrase that I was using. So it actually didn't cause a problem, but on the screen I could see the words pop up.
And then they went away.
Yeah. You kind of get all the words going in real time and then there's like a parsing that happens and it adjusts the phrase to what, okay, here's what I actually think you were trying to say or said. And that was corrected. So it like auto corrected to the right thing, which was kind of cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
So according to Ming-Chi Kuo, he believes that Apple is very likely to abandon fingerprint recognition starting with next year's models.
Yep.
If everything goes well, they're going to move away from Touch ID and have Face ID be the only way to do it. The only biometric.
Define goes well.
Hmm?
Define goes well.
Well, I guess if it works as well as they predict.
Is that it? Or is it, can we get enough frigging sensors?
Yeah, that may be part of it. So yeah, that's one of the issues with the iPhone X production line is getting the dot projectors. I have a feeling they're going to do just fine with those dot projectors. Once they get the little nuances worked out in the production line, which I think they're getting close to doing.
I don't have the notes in front of me, but don't you have they're predicting 3 to 5 million iPhone X ready at launch?
I have 2 to 3.
Oh, 2 to 3? Yeah.
Yeah, 2 to 3 million iPhones X available at launch November 3rd.
Because, you know, every other iPhone launch pre-orders have been 12 million phones. So that's going to be great.
Really?
Yeah. Weekend pre-order sales on like iPhone 6 and 7, like the big releases, tends to be somewhere between estimated, because, you know, Apple doesn't give numbers, but it's always estimated to be 10 to 12 million pre-orders.
Wow.
So it'll be nice that they have, you know, 3 million ready to go.
So Kuo is predicting 25 to 30 million units in the fourth quarter.
Right.
And he expects 2 to 3 million units will be shipped into distribution channels ahead of the launch. So
they're going to be playing catch up pretty quick. That's not bad for the whole quarter. I mean, I guess they'll catch up, but it just means that if you're expecting to get one on release day, which is what, the 3rd or the 4th? I can't remember now. November 3rd?
3rd.
Yeah. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. It's funny, you know, I've been talking to, you know, normies, if you want to call them that, who are just like, oh, I think I should get the iPhone X. Like, you know, fellow students and like my barber and stuff. And
right.
They're like, I want to get the iPhone X. And I'm like, it's real expensive. You know that, right? And they're like, yeah, but you know, it's just, I'm ready for a new iPhone and it's only a couple hundred extra dollars and it's pretty dope. And I'm like, yeah, do it.
Well, just people don't pay and everybody's on the payment plan, right?
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're going to do the installment plan.
Really, it's $10 a month more than they're probably paying now.
It'll be an installment plan, but I'm surprised. One Canadian carrier said that their sales of iPhones 8, so Rogers,
right?
They called the reception or the demand rather for iPhone 8 anemic.
Yeah.
Which
there's rumors Apple's cutting down supply, you know, reducing the supply chain already to compensate for.
To 50%. They're planning to knock it down by 50% when iPhone 10 comes along.
Well, and they always crank it down after launch also. I mean, people don't know this, but, you know, Apple ramps up for production for release and then pretty quickly afterwards they can gauge where demand's going to be, and they always do a down adjustment. So it's not that unusual. It might be a little bit larger this time.
Sure.
But your point is exactly valid. Is the thing is they have another, you know, they have their premium phone that I think more people are waiting on. I think you're absolutely right. I think there's people out there that are like, well, I have a 6 or I have a 7, and the 8 just looks pretty much the same. So I think there's more people holding out for the 10.
You know, it's funny. I was in the Apple store the other day, just checking out the phones, and some dudes came up to the iPhone 8. They're looking at it and they're like, what is this? This looks exactly the same. How could they do this? It looks exactly the same. And I'm like, well, I didn't actually engage them, but it's like, right. Yeah, they can do whatever they want. It doesn't need to look any different. But it's interesting to see that that's the perspective of people.
And what's funny is it isn't exactly the same because it has that, you know, it has the glass back.
So. I really like the glass back. The glass back
you
is
do?
Really nice.
What do you? Yeah. How did you feel about I really am bummed about the color. I'm the color matching. And like, I think it looks not great.
My favorite is I think it's the rose gold.
Really?
I think it looks great. Yeah.
With that weird pink white,
I love it.
On the back,
I love it. It's so cool.
It's just it. I don't know. It's weird because it's like this weird flat matte color under this shiny, shiny glass, and it doesn't match anything else on the phone. So I kind of felt like they should have just gone with pure white on the back of the silver and the gold. I think the black looks okay. The space gray or whatever.
Hmm. Yeah.
So I'm going to be opting for the space gray, but
that's like your opinion, man.
It is my opinion. Totally my opinion.
Let's see. So yeah, iPhone 10. It seems like a lot of people want to get it. I always keep forgetting to mention to these people as they tell me this that, oh, by the way, it's going to be extremely difficult to get a hold of one of these.
Yeah.
It's funny because most of the people looking for one, you know, their screens are busted. And they're waiting.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you're going to be hanging out with that for a while.
Right. Well, and I think the other thing is people aren't going to realize is that, you know, that back glass, even though Apple says it's the most durable stuff that they have,
it's still glass.
The testing is played out to show that it's you drop it, there's a good chance it's going to, not every time, but there's a good chance it's probably going to shatter.
Mm-hmm.
And the back glass panel, I think, is a lot more expensive to replace.
Probably.
I think it's not. I think it's a $99 replacement cost or something like that versus the $29 or $39 or whatever they're charging for an AppleCare screen, and a screen under AppleCare Plus now is your accidental damage.
Well, we're paying for a premium device, and if those sorts of things upset you, then you can get an SE.
Or use a case. I mean,
that's or a case, thing. Yeah. Use one of those big old cases.
I would advise
cases.
Using a case. Yeah. I don't know. Does it bug you? Are you one of these people? It totally bugs me every time I see someone out and about and they're like, they're using a cracked iPhone screen. But that's pretty much everybody who's not a tech person. They just have a shattered iPhone screen and they just use it.
Does it bother me?
When I see, guess, yeah, it bothers me. Like when other people, I'm like, why don't you? In the back of my mind, I'm like, God, get your phone fixed. I don't know why it does, but it totally
I understand why they don't get it fixed.
I totally understand why they don't get it fixed.
I'm just more concerned for glass being in their face.
It just amazes me how many phones when I'm out and about that I see that are just cracked.
Yeah.
And it's not just Apple. It's Apple, it's Android. It's just like people just use cracked phones.
I don't know how I've gotten away with it, but I have not had that problem since I've had an iPhone.
Knock on wood.
Yeah. I have a glass desk, so I'm going to have to do that later. what do we have? I was talking about... The fact that Face ID is going to become the norm. Yep. You know, I just wanted to say a couple more things about that. There's a great Gruber article out there. We were all speculating that Face ID was going to be was the backup plan, right?
Right.
For if they couldn't figure out getting Touch ID to work through the display. And it now it makes a lot more sense that it's kind of the other way around. And that's what he pointed out is that they, you know, they figured they could do Touch ID under the glass, but they really wanted Face ID to work. And, you know, in retrospect, it makes perfect sense, right? Face ID is definitely the next evolution of biometrics on your phone because that's how I decide I'm going, like, if I'm going to like, oh, I want to tell Adam this secret thing. I'm not going to just go and look at some random person and tell them this thing. I'm going to wait until I recognize Adam's face. It's a very natural human thing, right? Uh-huh. Is this face recognition. And it does seem like the future for biometrics. So I totally see next year, if they can get it together, I think Face ID is going to be the new way of doing it and Touch ID is going to go away. And I think it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
And it's going to, I think it's going to help with a lot of the little nitty gritty issues with Touch ID. I think a lot of people have trouble with it still. Some people just have weird skin. You know, some people are wearing gloves. I think this is going to make things a lot easier. So I buy it. I buy it. Go ahead.
The other half of that equation and the other, you know, reason it kind of makes sense for them to move in that direction too, is that the sensor bar, right, serves more than just that purpose of facial recognition. So there's other features and functionality they can layer on top of that biometric.
True. Yeah.
For things. So now you have you don't have to have separate sensors for your biometrics and your augmented reality depth perception kind of stuff. It's all in one thing, right? So it's also, to me, makes some sense from that perspective. It's sort of, you know, you have all these sensors now that are sort of grouped together that serve multiple purposes, whereas Touch ID, that's all that was dedicated for, and that's all that ever did.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, you know, I think anytime you can serve more purposes with a piece of hardware, it's more economical.
Yeah.
Let's see. So Al Franken, we talked about this several weeks ago. He wrote a letter to Apple asking them to address security concerns about Face ID. And they kind of put all this information out in the public as far as, so there's a Face ID white paper, which is pretty cool. There's also a support document that outlines, you know, Face ID and security. And this is actually, you know, this is probably something that Apple wanted to get out there anyway.
Even did that appease this, Mr. Franken?
I think it did. And, you know, businesses are going to want to know about this as well, right? So there's the white paper out there. They talk about how Face ID unlocks the devices, how they trained it, how they trained the neural network to disregard masks and printouts and that sort of thing. So that's pretty cool. There's a link in the show notes, so you can check that out if you would like to. Let's see. What is next? iPhone 8, iPhone 10. Oh, well, there's one more thing. So I guess, according to the Korea Herald, by The Investor, Apple is considering the idea of an Apple Pencil compatible iPhone. Okay.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay. I mean, that's really why I brought this up. I wanted to know what you thought about it. What in the world would be the point of doing this?
Exactly.
It's just weird. You can make it work, and yeah, you can do maybe some interesting things, but ultimately I think that the canvas of the iPhone is just too small to do anything useful with the pencil.
Yeah. I mean, other than marking up a document for something, I mean, that might be the one thing, but that's just as easily done with your finger.
Yeah, it's done pretty well with your finger.
You know, but as far as like doing actual like drawing or design stuff, I think some people are arguing if the phone continues to get larger in terms of the display size. But even an iPhone 8 Plus, I don't think the stylus becomes useful. I have to, you know, I need to start paying more attention because I don't notice out and about. I cannot think of one single time I've seen someone that has a Android device with a stylus that I've seen someone using it in the wild.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, like is it the note line that has do they have a stylus? Oh, I know there's phones out there with styluses.
I believe so.
Right. I've seen the commercials for them, but I don't think I've ever seen one. Like, I'm trying to think at a Starbucks, but again, I haven't been paying that close attention. So I may make an active effort to try and see how frequently I see someone actually using a stylus, their iPhone. It just feels like so like 19 or I guess 2004 or something like that. Right. When we had like Palm Pilots or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Those had styluses.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't see it. I mean, I think I would notice it because I'd be like, oh, that's weird. I don't know. I just don't see Apple doing it. I mean, maybe they could be experimenting with it, but it seems so unlikely just based on the history and the comments that Steve made way, way, way back when.
Yeah, and you could say that, well, they broke that because they have a stylus for the iPad. But he was talking
about styluses with phones, though. He was not, the iPad wasn't even a thing when he brought that up. So
right.
That's the thing I think everybody forgets because everybody drags that out and says, well, Steve said Apple would never do a stylus because yuck. You know, that was stupid.
That's our outro.
Yeah, but again, he was referring to a stylus on a phone.
Yeah.
You know, it makes a lot of sense with an iPad. A lot of sense.
Yep.
So I just say no. That's a weird rumor. I don't know where that came out of, and it's just never going to happen.
It is a very weird rumor. Okay. So I think that's it, unless you had something other to talk about.
Nope.
Okay, let's do picks. Better be a good one.
Am I going first?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Did last week, did we talk about movies anywhere?
I don't think so.
Okay. So this is kind of my pick is not movies anywhere, but we need a little background to my pick. So
wait. Is this the credit card thing?
No. This is the Disney. So Disney had this service called Movies Anywhere for a long time. It was an app and it was a website, and you would go sign up. And basically, if you had a Disney account, you would sign in with your Disney account, and then it allowed you to link iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, and Vudu, which are online services where you can buy, you know, streaming movies and entertainment content. And it would allow you to link your Disney movies to the Movies Anywhere service, and then your movies, regardless of where you bought them, would be unlocked and available on any one of those other services.
Hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, well, last week or 2 weeks ago, I got an email from Disney, and they're like, we're ending Disney Movies Anywhere because we're now moving everything to Movies Anywhere. So there's a new service called Movies Anywhere, and I think all but two of the major studios are now on board. So Disney, Sony, I think Universal is not in there. I can't remember all the studios, but basically most of the studios that are releasing movies to digital are now part of this group. So they migrated my account over there, and then I could sign up and I could link again my iTunes to Vudu and Google Play and Amazon, which means now that I can buy content wherever I want. So I can buy it on Amazon, and because I have Movies Anywhere, if it's from one of those studios, it automatically is unlocked and available in iTunes for me.
Whoa.
Yeah, just freaking awesome. So the minute I signed up and linked everything, I now have my entire iTunes purchased movie collection available in Amazon, for example.
Huh.
At least for all the studios that participate. But that's not my pick. So that thing's cool, and you can do that. And they do have their own app, and they do have their own Apple TV app of Movies Anywhere. I'm not sure why you would need that, because, again, they're just right yeah. in my standard iTunes. But if you want to install that, you can. But the cooler thing is I did not know about this service, but Vudu, which is owned by Walmart, inside their app, they have something called Disc to Digital. So if you have Blu-ray discs or DVD discs, what you can do is you can launch that app, scan the barcode on the DVD case or the Blu-ray case, and then get a digital copy of that film on Vudu. Now, there is a fee for it. It's $2 for a Blu-ray or a standard definition copy of a DVD. And $5 if you want a HD copy of a DVD.
Hmm.
So basically for $5, I can upgrade all of my old DVD library to HD, put it into Vudu, but then because of Movies Anywhere, those movies will now be unlocked and available in iTunes.
Nice.
So if I don't want to have to deal with ripping, or again, in this case, most of my old collection is DVD. So I had actually already repurchased some movies in HD, but I have a lot of my library, you know, maybe 100 or so discs that I don't. And some of those I would like to have HD versions of. So this could be a good way for me to get $5 HD versions of some of my library.
Cool.
So that's my pick. It's Vudu, the Vudu app coupled with Movies Anywhere.
Nice.
Okay,
so my pick is the, I should have looked up the actual name for this thing.
Oh, and Vudu is V-U-D-U, by the way.
V-U-D-U, yeah. So my pick is the smart keyboard for the iPad Pro. And I actually got rid of it, to be fair, because I'm not using it for practical purposes. It's actually it's something that's just really nice to have. Do you have a smart keyboard cover?
Yes. I would not have my iPad Pro without it.
Yeah. It's pretty freaking awesome. It's just, it kind of makes it, it turns it into an almost Mac.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Well, for me, it came down to a big application I use my iPad for is taking my show notes, and I use Omni Outliner, and it's just nice to have the keyboard as an option in certain scenarios, because it makes typing a little bit easier.
It is so nice, and you get the keyboard shortcuts. You get tons of keyboard shortcuts with it.
Yep.
It is part of the smart cover, so you've got your nice little triangle to prop it up already. It is just, so if you have an iPad Pro or you're considering getting it, this thing is, it's really nice. I only have it because I do no typing, no practical typing on my iPad.
Right.
But if you plan to, it's so nice. If I had an extra $160 to burn, I would totally have it, you know, to surf the web and just do all those great things that you want to do on your iPad. It just makes life on the iPad so much nicer. So my pick is the Smart Keyboard. It's $160. It only comes in one color, right?
Yeah, just the gray.
But yeah, I really like it. I'll talk about my other iPad Pro picks next week. So that's $160 from Apple, of course. And with that, you can find the show notes and the picks at theiosshow.com. You can review the show in iTunes, tell a friend, give it a star rating. Send your feedback to feedback@theiosshow.com. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. Adam Christensen's at the Mattcast at mattcast.com and at Mattcast on Twitter. Thanks for hanging out today, Adam.
Hey, yeah, it was fun. And we made it through even without Jeff.
Yeah, who needs Jeff?
Miss him, though. We do. I miss him. I always miss him when he's gone.
I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. And with that, we'll talk to you next time on The iOS Show. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. A phone. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. A phone. And an internet. And an internet. How are we going to communicate this? The stylus. We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? So what are we going to do? A stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus.